Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros,
well, we got about an hour to go before we hear what Bob Arum's got to say. If Floyd Mayweather is signing on to the bill to see whether he's going to face Manny Pacquiao November 13th, hopefully it's some good news. ESPN was kind of reporting with Dan Raphael that, really honestly, it's not in no way of twisting his arm. It's just pretty much saying that, negotiations are kind of out the door with them, and it leaves Manny to kind of pick and choose the other crops that are in the welterweight division for him to move on and have that date, November 13th. So whether or not it's going to happen, we're not going to know. I'm curious about what Bob Arum has got to say in his press conference call to the world at midnight. I believe I got my co-host Ernesto Gavillon on the line. What's up, brother? Ernie, you there, brother? Or are you on mute? I can hear you, so I know you're there. So anyways, this is your boy Dave Duenas with Leave It in the Ring, Boxing Scene official radio show. And, if you guys want to call in right now and tell us whether or not you think this is going to be a signing and this fight's going to be possibly happening November 13th, you can. 347-215-7598.
Hello?
I'd like to hear your pick. Hello? Ernie, what's going on, brother? Is something going on with your mic? Or has the heat finally fried your brain? It's got to be one or the other. Or it could be the king of beers got to you. So it's taking your capacity of speaking at this moment. So like I said, if you want to call in, chop it up with us here on Leave It in the Ring. You can. The lines are open, 347-215-7598. I'm really curious, man. I don't know if I'm the only one out there right now in the world that's really kind of just that edge of the cliff where I'm just pretty much kind of done and over with it if we don't have an answer by midnight. You know what I mean? I don't know what else to you're texting right now. Ernie's texting me. Say he's in. I know you're in. But you're not talking, brother. You might have to hang up and recall back in if there's something wrong with your mic. Because we're not hearing you. I can't hear you. So, going back, because I'm just, I don't know, man. I'm at that point right now, at that level of, should I care anymore? You know what I mean? It's like that, that thing there where you ask a girl numerous times, you want to go out, you want to go out, you want to go out. And she's like, no, I don't want right now. I got things to do, not at this moment. I'm seeing somebody else, No, I mean, I got to do my hair. No, I got to go with mom shopping. And then eventually you lose kind of interest, but it's still out there, that she knows you're still available. So then when the availability comes around, she finally has the time to fit you in the schedule. And then guess what? The scheduling is no longer there fitting in your time, in your time frame. And that could be in that kind of sense where it might end up happening where when Floyd is completely ready, Manny might not be ready. Manny might go, I'm not going to do it after all. I fought my last fight at November 13th, and I'm going to continue on with my new career as a, congressman and in politics and possibly even, becoming president of the Philippines, if that, was to happen. And why not shoot for it? You know what I mean? I mean, he's pretty much done everything he can in his career in boxing except for fight Floyd Mayweather. And it's in a lot of ways, it's some fight fans could say it's both their faults, and some fight fans could say it's Floyd. Some are going to say it's Manny's. But right now with this 12 o'clock countdown, who's the blame of this? I don't know. Like to hear what you guys, what your thoughts about it. Live right now on Leaving the Ring. You can call us at 347-215-7598. Ernie, call what? Back. There you go, bro. Now I can hear you.
What? Mario, I'm 5 beers into my night. So.
I figured you were. That's why I said, you know, either there was something wrong with the mic, or the heat finally caught up to you in the right brain, or you got the brewski in you.
No, I'm still fed up from Thursday's show. So.
Oh man, don't even bring that up right now. You know, the people that follow us, you know, consistently every Thursday night, you know, man, you know what? I got to say this, you know, everybody that's stuck through the thick and thin with us has gone through the mud and through the car wash, are real troopers, man, because right away they were hitting us up and say, hey, man, you know what? It's all good, Dave. Don't worry about it. Still love leaving in the ring. Technical problems. You know, we know how it is. And I got to say, man, I just got to thank that type of support because when you're up against, you know, technical issues that you really don't have any control of, man, and you know, it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth, and you're hoping it doesn't leave a bad taste to the listeners. But, you know, listeners are hardcore fight fans, boxing fans, and that's what makes this so unique. That's what makes the show so unique and everything in a sense of they don't give up. Just like our sport. It's a sport that's supposed to be dying. It's a sport that's supposed to go 6 foot in the ground, and we keep coming back. We're like returning to the living dead.
Of course. To be honest with you, I especially me, since I've been, you know, I'm probably the newest guy on this show. You know, the fandom that we have already, very much appreciated. I know they can turn our back, you know, turn their backs to us when things don't quite go their, you know, our way, and we have technical difficulties, which seems more and more. But in the end, we talked about this last night. Me and you. We do this for the fans. I don't have any agendas. I'm not trying to sell. Even though I work for Avlast, I'm not trying to sell these guys equipment. I genuinely love the show. I genuinely love to provide information to the guys out there, and you know, invite everybody out here because we're trying to spread the word. We're trying to keep this sport out there in the mainstream and making things happen. You know, not just for us, but for boxing as well.
You are absolutely right.
You see the sports, you know, dying. People say that, but look at it, man. It's awake on a Friday night at 11:15. You know, getting ready to listen to what I think is going to be, you know, Bob Arum's answer to Seinfeld, a press conference about nothing. You know, I mean, here we are, and then we're giving the fans an opportunity to listen to it, talk about it, interact. I'm excited, man. How you guys doing?
I'm good. I'm 5 beers into it. I had a great dinner with my daughter. We went and had sushi. I was awesome. She's everything I hoped for and then some. So, she's actually in my room watching TV in a nice air conditioned room, and I'm sweating out here in my office.
So hey, that makes two of us right now. You know.
How many beers is she into it?
she's a couple of juice boxes into this.
Is that what we're calling wine coolers nowadays? Well, you know, man, Gable, you made a great point. I mean, look what time it is right now. You know, and I'm pretty sure there are fans across the sea in the UK, and there's Filipino fans and Mexican fans in Mexico and all over the place, all around the world right now that are just waiting for this clock. You know, it's almost like New Year's, you know what I'm saying? You know, where you're waiting for the big apple to drop and everybody starts cheering. The only thing is that we don't know exactly what we're going to be cheering about when Bob Arum gets on that press conference call and lets us know. I'm going to have to say bad news. I'm going to say it's the news that we've been expecting, which is Manny's
not. But you know what? For right now, you know what? Let's talk about tonight's fights. I think we had a nice little fun-packed event of boxing. You know, we had a triple header on Showtime, and we had a nice little Friday night fights, you know. Until we actually get to the inevitable, which is what I think is going to happen. You know, let's talk about something nice and something good.
Something nice and something good, something helpful and something lovely, you know. You're absolutely right. But, you know, let the fans know we are going to stream the audio press conference of Bob Arum at midnight. So, you know, if you guys want to log on to the chat room, go for it. If you want to call in, to leave it in the ring right now? You can. The lines are open, man. We're willing to speak to anybody, to hear anybody's thoughts about what they're thinking is going to happen at the strike at midnight. You can. You're more and welcome to. We love to speak to everybody and chop it up boxing. It's not a problem. 347-215-7598. Well, Zab Judah says that after he does what he's got to do, he wants the critics to say he's back. Well, I don't know if I really want to say you're back, because I kind of figured you were going to do that to a guy by the name of Santa Cruz. I kind of figured you were going to surf on Santa Cruz, the way the surfers do it over here in Santa Cruz, California.
You know, honestly, it was a guy looking for a good high-profile fight, as high-profile as he could get on ESPN, and that's Santa Cruz. I mean, Santa Cruz should have been a champ at 135, and you know, and for all intents and purposes, you know, Santa Cruz is just, you know, he's an okay guy. He's real slow. He's kind of a grinder, and guys like Zab feast off of guys like Santa Cruz. Look what he did to Cosme Rivera. I mean, guy had never been down before he faced Zab and went down in the first. You know, I expected this to happen. You know, I think it's going to do a lot for Zab as far as his ego and as far as his fans saying he's back. But he's not going to be back until he faces a legitimate 140-pound guy.
Absolutely. You're not going to be back, you know, and I don't want to chop too much wood on you, you know, Zab, about doing what you did. Because you know what? It was a notable comeback against a guy that was there to be put four rounds. But three rounds, you got him out of there, you did something. I mean, look, there's the obvious of Zab Judah. The guy's ultra-talented. You can't take that away from the kid. You know, that's something that we have known since he was in the Olympics and he came out of the Olympics, went into the pros, you know. The odds and picks against him when he was going to face Kasuzu at the 140 Unified Championship title, you know, when they were stepping into the ring, was everybody was leaning towards the more gifted Brooklyn kid to defeat Kasuzu at the time, you know, and it all went downhill from there. And now you get back in with Santa Cruz off the layoff after layoff after layoff, and it's fantastic. But if you really want critics to shut up, and you want critics to really say, okay, he's back, then guess what? Get in with somebody else like in the top 10. You'd be impressed if you got in with Lamont Peterson.
Top 10 might be too soon. I mean, I think back to the interview I did with Ann Wolf a couple weeks back, and the way she described it, bring back James. And I think Zab's been gone in much the same way when he wasn't incarcerated, but he's been laid off. And he said, you know, I think he stayed at that weight, at welterweight, long, like it. I think he was almost like Floyd, where you needed to match him right after he got the title. You know, like, and then when he was coming back, like taking on Klopp, it was a huge mistake. I think now you get him a guy that's more alive than Santa Cruz, but I wouldn't jump so high up into the top 20 just yet. I would enter top 20. I don't think top 10 just yet. But I think having him back.
I don't know, because you know he looked good. He was using his right hand jab effectively. You know, his uppercuts have always been a thing of a beauty. You know, I mean, nobody's really mirrored the way he likes to drop that left uppercut. I love the way he does it, but I still say that, you know, if you're going to put him in, if you're going to put him in with somebody to test the waters whether or not Zab Judah is serious about the game again, I put him in with Lamont Peterson, not a big puncher. You know, it's not like his brother. He's a boxer, and he tends to, you know, at this moment, he's at that peak of his career where he's hungry, where he's willing to stand and trade and make mistakes in front of you. You know, it doesn't seem like he's really shooking that off. Why not put him in with Zab? That would really kind of, you know, tell us whether or not, hey, should we take you serious? Is it time for us to really say you have matured and now you're moved on into something you were supposed to be brightened up a long time ago? I don't know.
How about a Juan Urango, Randall Bailey guy? You know, it's one of those guys that if Zab's not careful, his chin's going to get tested type of guy. I want to see him like you guys. I want to see what it's like when he fights an opponent at his level. We all knew Santa Cruz for as gutsy as Santa Cruz is, he wasn't on Zab's level.
No.
And he even knew it. You know, and it's just one of those things where once we get Zab to a level where he can get tested, then I think then I think if he passes that, we can start saying, hey, you know what, Zab, maybe Zab is really back.
Yeah, and to look impressive against like a Randall Bailey would be, that would go a long way. You know, that would say something to me. You know, that, because tonight, I mean, the one biggest thing, two big things I noticed about him, he used the jab. There's three things. I'll get into the third one later. He used the jab up and down, even if Santa Cruz was moving out of range, and he hadn't really used it that well, and his punches came back to the chin. But also, when he landed that uppercut, I don't know if you guys noticed, in recent years, his uppercut has drifted away from his chin when he throws it.
He used to like windmill his uppercut.
He used to.
You remember that?
Yeah, with Cotto. Yeah, with Cotto, he started to do it. Early on in his career, he didn't. Then he started to really believe in his power and kind of try to put more into it at welterweight. Tonight,
right,
it was real smooth, and it just, boom, it just came right off the chin. He maximized his power, and he saw the result. You know, that fight tonight could have gone longer, and he was impressive in that, and he did what he had to do.
And that's something, honestly, you got to outline that he did. You know, Zab Judah, I mean, we got to give him credit about it, is that he did look nice and tight. He looked texted. But there was some moments where I was like, kind of like what Ernie was right now saying, put him in with a Juan Urango, let's test his chin, because Santa Cruz was able to get in some waves, you know. He was able to clock him, you know. Zab did do a little bit of the earmuff, didn't have much head movement, backed himself up to those ropes, you know, where he trapped himself, but he was able to get out of there because of his hand speed, and to me, he still seemed like the much bigger guy than Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz just looked a little bit awkward, you know, he had a long layoff himself, you know, and it just seemed to me that Santa Cruz was just not going to catch up to him at all, at any moment.
No, dude, and his legs looked that really wide stance, and which he's always kind of had, you know, and it was weird. A guy that goes from lightweight and works his way up to welterweight looked exactly the same. He still looked gangly, not very strong. He just didn't look like a guy with much underneath him, you know. So that's who he was, and you know, maybe he'd had some rough and tumble fights early on. In my opinion, he won the lightweight championship, but you know, those days are long gone, and all this was a showcase fight. But in a sense, it is a fight that, you know, let's say Santa Cruz take the power, or I didn't look quite as sharp, that fight could have easily been extended, and it could have gone the other way, where we went, oh man, here's Zab again. He can't knock a guy out. Look at him go rounds, and how boring it is. Instead, he did what he had to do. But like Ernie said, I'd like to see him go into the middle rounds, get a little tested, maybe have to go late and then stop somebody. You know, a little bit of fire, but not too much, not just yet. Let him fill up his belly a little bit with some of these guys, you know, and then go after something bigger.
Absolutely. I agree. You know, I like to see him get in with a little bit, you know, bigger. I do. I would like to see. I'd like to put all the chips in the bag and find out.
But you know what we're going to see is we're going to see someone take him immediately because he brings that name factor, and we're going to see a big fight, and more than likely...
No, Devin Alexander really didn't want to mix with them, remember?
Yeah, but you know what? At the time, let's be honest, at the time, really, Zab really literally was at ground zero. So now that he's got a little steam on him, I bet you $5, you know, guys who think that he's a name and a payday are going to come after him. And you know, if Zab's focused, and we say this all the time, if Zab is focused, you know, who's telling what? I mean, honestly, who thought he would beat Corey Spinks in the rematch the way he did? I didn't. I thought it would be more of the same, and it was refreshing to see. I think that was the one stretch where we could say Zab was reaching his full potential. And you know, he's only 31, like they said on TV. You know, if he really has his focus back, let's see what he could do. I'm really curious now. I mean, before I was like, whatever. Now I'm curious. I'm really curious.
You know, I will say with you is you're absolutely right. I'm curious. I've always been curious about Zab. You know, I know the Zab Judah fans were ultra happy, probably jumping up and down to see Zab get back into the ring and be super Judah. I'm pretty sure Max Kellerman soaked himself, you know, seeing that happen. Because that was Max's boy, you know. But hey, you know what? You just got to wait. You know, the thing about Zab Judah is we can't forget history. And history has told us time and time again with him is that when he's at his ultra high and he looks great, for some reason, he kind of goes back into that shell of, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Or I can give
the thing?
Him...
Is, I was just saying the history of himself, and that's why I think you should build him back up, you know, because it's like he jumped from like Cosme Rivera then to like a tough opponent, you know, and then he had like a get back fight, then he fought Claudi or Cotto, you know, two or three of those, build a rhythm, two or three good camps in a row, and then you see what you got, you know,
build a rhythm and keep
smart. This is the last run, so you better not fuck this up, you know.
Exactly.
This is, I'm sorry. Just drop an F bomb. I guess this is leave it in the ring after dark. sorry, Ernie. What were you going to say?
No, We're good. You know, I'm actually looking at Max Boxing's message board, the one I still run, and looking at all the things that they're saying about the Showbox fight too. Some good fights on Showbox.
Some really good fights on there. You know, you had a. You know, you had Fernando Guerrero in the middleweight prospect. He got in there with Issa Smith, the crafty veteran that originally came out of the Contender Series. You know, it was a good test for him. Issa Smith had received a low blow point taken away from him. And then later on the eighth round, you know, Issa Smith was able to drop Guerrero. But for Guerrero to get back up and continue his job, he got end up getting a decision over Issa Smith, 96-93, 95-93, 97-91. So a good scrap for Fernando Guerrero. And, you know, Issa Smith, man, is just getting those breaks every time he steps in. You know, I guess he's going to have to understand is he is the stepping stone for these young guys.
And that's sad to say because you got a guy as skilled as – I mean, because let's face it, Shea is skilled. He's a skilled guy. But the thing with him is that I don't think he realizes just how good he is because he just does enough to be either competitive or barely upset you. The lone exception was against Pavel Waller, where he just totally dominated the guy. You know, I think it has a lot to do with his psyche. If he thinks he's competitive, he'll do enough just to be in the fight. But if he thinks he can dominate you, then he's going to take it over.
That is so funny because it's like he always brings himself to that level of what his opponent's going to do, you know, and he could do good for that moment when he stays on that same level. When, in all honesty, he could take it up a notch and be better than the guy that's in front of him. But instead, he ends up derailing himself down south. He ends up going the opposite direction where he ends up becoming more of a kind of a – he ends up becoming a sparring partner rather than an opponent, you know.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it's 37 minutes left before the hour comes up, what Bob Arum's got to say in the press conference. So everybody updated, you know, anticipation. I'm going to tell you right now, my feelings of what's happening right now on Leaving the Ring. Like I said, you can call right now, 347-215-7598. I almost feel like being this eight-year-old little boy back in downtown San Jose in the ghetto, in our one-bedroom apartment with that little Christmas tree, you know, that little rinky that doesn't even have pine stems on it and stuff. It's got actual leaves, but it's, you know, and your parents are telling you it's a tree, but it's actually a tree that's lost all its leaves, you know, on it, and they kind of pasted it on there. And I'm just anticipating looking at the clock because I want to open my present. That's kind of my feelings right now. But the shitty part about it is I know what's in the present.
Yeah, hopefully you unwrap your presents as a child. There was actually something inside that present, you know. Tonight, I think you're gonna unwrap it and go, "Wow, lost again." You know, I don't think there's anything that's gonna happen here. I think Bob is just to say the negotiations are now open for other fighters. But, you know, if Floyd wants to come back with something, maybe we'd entertain it. And that I think is gonna be it. I really do. You know, I don't think he's going to announce a hard date or a hard fight for Manny. You know, this is the actual fight. I think it's just going to be our options are now open, and this is what we've been negotiating.
You know, I think, honestly, I think this is what the announcement's going to be, is we're going to hear a repeat what Dan Rafferty said on ESPN, you know, where, you know, well,
that he's
now
hungry?
That I just got done with lunch for the fourth time.
Don't ever get me started on that ass, because I'll have this to shred. So let's keep it that way. Let's keep it at the top. Hi, Dan. I love you.
Dan, you're a great guy, brother. It's a joke, you know.
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure Dan's used to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm pretty sure he's heard them all and stuff. But to go back really quick, you know, Bob Arum saying exactly the repeat of what came out of Dan Raphael. You know, and saying, you know, well, we don't have no longer any commitment. Now we can move on and see what else is out there for Manny Pacquiao. You know, where else, what other site we can be at. You know, we're going to continue on looking at the other welterweights that are in our own stable, in our own promotional group. And that's pretty much it. My big question is, how long is this telepress conference call to the whole world is going to be just to hear him say, the fight is not going to be on.
Hey, well, I can do it right now and save everybody, the late night.
Oh, you're late.
Ladies and gentlemen, Floyd Mayweather has not signed. So we're going to go with option two. November 13th, Manny Pacquiao, Congressman Manny Pacquiao, is going to fight. Stay tuned for the opponent.
And that's all he's going to say.
It sounded like a South Park version of Bob Arum.
Hey, Steve Kim does it way
he's
better.
Looking around
with
like he does it. It's a mighty fine Bob Arum.
Oh,
I could do
does.
Steve doing Bob Arum.
I don't know, Gabe. Right now, you kind of sound like a little bit like you're in between the legs of Bob Arum right now. The way you're muffled up.
Am I muffled?
I'm just playing with you, brother. I had it just, you know.
Can you hear me now? Is it better now?
I can hear you now. You know, it's not as bad as yesterday, though, because if everybody was tuning in yesterday, we almost sound like that old record from Chaka Khan, you know, what was the name of that freaking song, man? Freakazoids and stuff. Hey, you know what, though? We got a caller. Let's see what they got to say about the whole Manny Pacquiao versus Mayweather press teleconference today at 909. Brother, you're on live right now, leaving the ring. Go ahead and tell us what your thoughts are.
Hey, what's going on? It's Grindstein, man. What's good?
What's up, Grindstein? How you doing, brother?
Doing all right. How about yourself, man?
Doing fantastic, brother. I'm just waiting up for this conference call that should be coming on in 32 minutes. And, you know,
it's like Christmas Eve waiting for a goddamn Christmas present.
Exactly.
I know.
It's almost like New Year's Eve.
Man, I got it on my internet.
I'm the only one drunk
already.
You got your what, brother?
I got it on my screen right now. I'm counting down with you guys, man. I'm hoping this fight will fall through and hope Money Mayweather signed this contract, man. Let's get this fight on. I'm tired. I've been waiting for 2 years for this fight. And I'm just every minute, like, I'm itching, you know?
Hey, Grind, let me
this
ask you
this. This guy is the voice of America, honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say, hey, Grind, let me ask you this. How pathetic are we that I have my screen up right now and I'm looking at it? And we're both staring at this screen, right? Like something's going to be – we almost look as bad as that one commercial where that one lady is – you know, she's a shopaholic and she's standing at the window of the store saying, open. You know what I mean? Oh, my God.
Either that, Dave, or you're the guy who nuts before the kids off the
candy. And that hasn't happened to me since I'm 13, okay?
I'll tell you what, Grind. I'm wishing that I'm going to be 6'1 by the end of this night. What do you think is going to happen first? I turn 6'1. This fight actually happens.
I don't know, man. It's just, I'm nervous. I'm looking at Manny Pacquiao with his trophy in his hand, hoping Bob Arum comes through with this decision. I've been reading Pac-Man. I've been everywhere. 17 hours today, I've been on the stream, man. So hopefully, man, I'm just hoping he finds a fight, you know?
Oh, man.
I'll tell you the one thing that really swayed me about the negotiations this week is you know, as everybody knows, Floyd Mayweather picked up an ESPY. And now he has three ESPYs, who Manny Pacquiao has one ESPY. So I think based on that, he should get 60% of the purse. Manny should only get 40.
You know what, though?
That's just me.
What I got to say is this, man, is that, hey, Grind, I think you need to put your dog on in the background because he's probably the only one right now that's making more sense to all of us by saying, this shit ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I think my dog Rico would agree. matter of fact, he's been on the fight. So I ran him in the room, man. So, I mean, oh, my goodness. So exactly at 12 o'clock, he's going to do this teleconference. Is it going to be broadcast to everyone or what's going on?
I thought it was going to be on the top rank website, right?
Yeah, it's on the top rank website. And, you know, at the same time, we'll play it. And listen, I'm thinking it's I don't see why it should go any longer than 3 minutes. It should be really quick. I mean, I
like your love life, Dave.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
Man down. Shots fired.
Oh, no, man. Look here. This is what I want to hear. I just want to hear Bob get on there and say it. Just like this, you know. It ain't going to happen. Click.
Until they have it.
That would be funny. If that's all he said.
Ernie, kind of like the way your old lady tells you when you get into the bed, it ain't going to happen.
Shots fired again.
Bang, bang, 20-gun salute.
Hey, I'll tell you this. For all the crappiness that was yesterday's show, this one's making up for tenfold.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just commit suicide saying I'd kill for a 3-minute sex life. How about that?
Oh, man.
Oh, you got Angela.
No, you know.
And Rosie Palm.
And her five sisters. What's her neighbor's name? Lotion?
Lotion.
Hey,
so honestly,
she's got that cousin, that cousin that's a black chick named Tissue. Come on, man, you got a love life.
Do we get a Mayweather fight this year?
What was that?
Do we get a Mayweather fight this year?
No,
I
know we get a Manny fight. No matter what, November 13th is Manny's date. I don't think we get another Mayweather fight until next May, honestly.
Is he scared of him?
No.
I don't think
Mayweather's scared. I like the take that someone had said. I don't think Mayweather's afraid of any fighter. I do think that he has hesitations when it comes to his zero, but I don't think he's afraid of any fighter. I look at it exactly like that,
Ernie, in that he's almost like the Sugar Ray. Like, you look at Sugar Leonard and Marvin Hagler, that fight eventually happened. Leonard being the Mayweather, who's trained by Top Rank, or, you know, brought up by Top Rank, and he learned from them how to get a guy at the right time. And Manny's style says that he's going to fall off, come down the mountain sooner than Floyd's style says. And so if it happens in a year or two, maybe Manny gets into, you know, kind of a war like Hagler did right before he fought Leonard. You know, Leonard's sitting in the crowd going after a 15-round war, I think I see something. I can beat him now. But yeah, he just had the hell beat out of him. Maybe he's ready to be taken.
So you're telling me he needs to sit next to Michael J. Fox before he decides to fight Manny?
Yes, exactly. Or the 2010 version, whatever that might be. Justin Bieber, I don't know. About the same size.
You know, wow.
Well, I don't think he's afraid either, but I'm trying to see what will be the purpose of holding out this long. I mean, you want to promote the fight for at least 3 months to get a good buzz, better than De La Hoya and Mayweather, but at the
egos.
Last minute, like,
I say it's all egos, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. One minute, you know, Floyd was ready to do it, but they brought up the whole testing, and Manny got a hissy fit about it and said no. Now it's back on, you know, where Manny wants to fight now majorly, where Floyd is like, well, you know what, you pulled this shit on me, I'm going to pull it out on you. You know what I mean? And the ones that are getting shit on are the fans, us. We're the ones. We're the ones that are just sitting back and really waiting in front of a screen right now that says Top Rank Countdown. You know what I mean? And we know the outcome of it. That's the sad part about it. You know, sad part about it. We're bank robbers thinking that we're not going
to
get busted, you know, and we are.
I hate to be a broken record, but it's moments like this that it makes me wish that this sport was more of an organization, you know? It was more like MLB or NBA.
Yeah,
like so that we could get the fight. And I understand the belts are necessary because of the model right now, which is the networks want belt fights. And so the more belts there are, the more belt fights there can be. And that helps guys get recognition. I mean, it helps a lot of guys, you know, like Vasquez Jr., he's got a belt. He wouldn't be on TV, most likely, if he didn't have one. You know, there's a lot of examples like that. But at this level, it's like there should be somebody else to come in and say, you know, dude, come on. It's the best thing for the sport is for you two to fight. I mean, the first time around, the momentum could not have been better. It would have been like just sending our sport right over the top, you know, and it didn't happen. And now there isn't as much buzz. We're waiting around for a conference where Bob Arum, you know, after taking some bong rips, is going to tell us the fight's not going to happen. You know, that's where we're at. We could be in such a better place.
Getting into the nuts and bolts of this, here's the thing. Here's what everybody's speculating. that Manny agreed to the 50-50 in 14 days. But what people don't fail to realize is that back in February, Mayweather had already said, look, all that stuff is off the table. So I don't understand how you can accept
absolutely
this
right.
that was taken away. I don't understand that. And for guys like Michael Wilbon, who don't know anything about the sport other than it, every once in a while he gets free comp tickets to a fifth row ticket to some of these events. Yeah, Michael, I'm calling you out.
Hey, I think we need to give Ernesto five beers every time he comes on, man.
Let's be honest. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry on Twitter is now getting their ticket, and it sucks. You know, they don't know anything about the logistics, right? Just what they see on the surface, and they don't understand that back in Mayweather took it away. So now all of a sudden when Manny says, okay, I agree, he's looking like a hero, and Bob's talking it up like he's a hero, when in actuality, this offer was rescinded back in February.
Yeah, this feels more to me like the ultimate spin job. Like, you know, if you remember after the last fight, there was so much backlash against Manny. He's a cheater.
Yeah.
He's definitely on – it's all that. This time around, Bob has been really careful. He didn't let out any of the details of the negotiation, but he kind of let everybody know that his side was doing what it took to make the fight.
Bob,
and he
killed
kind of won the war
one.
That way.
He knocked it out of the park.
It's possible. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought you meant killed the fight. But, yeah,
no, he really did.
He
knocked it out of the ballpark with this one. You know, the negotiations were supposed to be hush-hush, according to Bob. And yet the one person that's speaking on it is who? Bob. So, I mean, he did a home run. He hit a home run with this.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty smart. I mean, he's a lawyer from Harvard.
exactly. Like, you know, we got 23 more minutes left to find out exactly what's going to be said on Top Rank today, tonight, midnight. No later than midnight. And
you
like
know,
I
what's
said,
more pathetic that they're having a conference call or that we're having a radio show based on the conference?
I don't want to call that pathetic, man. But I think you want to call it dedication. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, on my ride home from work for the next Thursday before I hit the radio show, I'll make sure I'll drink five beers for you guys.
Nice.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you this. I got to applaud Bob Arum just a little bit because the fact is that how old is the guy is, and he's going to stay up to midnight just to give us the info what's cracking down when he can wait till tomorrow morning.
He's going to pop a few Viagra.
He's probably smoking sativa now, so he's more of an upper. You know, if he was going with the indica, he'd be asleep by now.
He's probably on his fifth load right now.
You know.
This is actually, I think we should have shows more like. Yeah, I'm more awake right now.
I like the show.
I'm during the normal hours. Yeah, you know,
I'm
more of a now.
Number six.
Well, Sean Porter, man, was able to get out get Ray Robinson, the new Ray Robinson, in 10 rounds. It went to a decision, 99, 98, 97, 92. 98, 91, Ray Robinson was dropped the sixth round by the junior middleweight Sean Porter. You know, Porter went out there, did his thing, and now he's just got to move on and continue what he's going to do. Ray Robinson, I don't know. You know, he's got to go back to the drawing board. Go ahead. I know you have something to say because I saw you tweet what you had to say. So go ahead and say it on the air, brother. What do you got to say about the new Ray Robinson?
It's Ray Robinson 2.0. He's just – no, I'm sorry. The footwork's bad. He looks like he's, like, punching – like he's swinging chain with like a ball on the end of it. You know, it's just real wide and real lanky, real slow. And he got hurt. I mean, it was like one guy, I don't know, Porter, it was like one guy wasn't good enough to take advantage of the things the other guy was terrible at. You know, I don't know. I mean, it was a solid win for Porter, I guess. But Ray Robinson, I mean, like Ernie brought up, what a disservice to Salvador Sanchez Jr. by calling him, you know, the legend continues. With this poor guy, he's going to live up to Ray Robinson? Really? You know, like the new Ray Robinson. And he's got, you know, I'm sorry, Robinson lost what, once in like 120 fights. You know, it took him like, I think he won all of his amateur fights, like something like 40-something fights. Then he won his first professional fights. You know, when you're 11-1, you got to drop the whole new Ray Robinson. Sorry. And to see him fight, nothing like the guy.
Yeah, that second fight was the worst of the three. And I think it's an indication as to just how raw both guys were. I still don't think Sean's ready for prime time. I think the press that he got based off of the sparring with Manny and the move to wild card is just that, and I think it may be detrimental to him in the long run, simply because now, I mean, do you ever expect Sean to not be on TV anymore? I don't. I think he's always going to be on a show box, and we're going to see him exposed sooner or later to a guy that's willing to stay in the pocket, keep his earmuffs on a little bit, and punch right down the middle. I mean, the more and more I see Sean, the less and less impressed I am with the guy.
Yeah, he's, I don't know. There's not a lot going on. I just got a text from our translator, Z, who says, meanwhile, Floyd has probably been with his flip-flop at the beach and sleeping.
Well, like I said, if you want to call in and tell us about what you're thinking about this fight, and if you're up late like right now with us, listening, go ahead and call in. Chop it up with us. Tell us what your thoughts are. Talk about anything you want about boxing right now.
Come drink beers with me.
Come drink some beers with Ernesto. And 347-215-7598. Mike Dallas was on that undercard. Mike Dallas Jr., the welterweight, went 8 rounds. Decisioned over Leonard Lane. It was unanimous. All the scorecards were the same, 78-74. Mike Dallas got a good jab. I like the kid. You know, I know that he was a little shaky. Some guys kind of walked away from him fan-wise, walked away from him because, you know, performances in the past. But it seems like ever since he's got in the wild card gym and got some work put in right there, some good work put in, it looks like he's improved. Last time I seen him was at the Tosi Palace, and he was able to drop his opponent on a jab. I'm really kind of keeping my eye on Mike Dallas Jr. I like the kid. I don't know what your guys' thoughts about Mike Dallas.
I was impressed. I've seen him at the wild card. I've seen him with Manny Pacquiao and just to keep the show topical, you know, with what's going to happen or not happen. And there was points where he would use his jab, use his movements, and really control Manny, keep him at bay. But then his jab would go away, and you would let Manny in the kitchen. And I didn't believe in his in my game, but I was really impressed, man. I picked him to lose. And he really could Lane, who Lane did not look like himself. He was just swinging for the fences. I think he thought that he could just get Mike Dallas out of there really fast with his power. I don't know what was going on with him. I thought if Lane had fought the last three rounds, fought the whole fight like he fought the last three rounds, it would have been a different night for him. He figured out what to do way too late, didn't use his jab, didn't double, triple it, and was just walking right in, swinging for the fences. Good for Mike Dallas, man. You know, he doesn't have a hell of a lot of power, but he showed some diversity tonight. Some pushing punches, a nice combination. It was good overall.
I agree. I actually just texted Mike a little while ago, congratulated him. He said thank you. It was exactly what he expected. He thought that Lane was a little raw, and that he knew he would eventually skills would overcome him, and which we saw. I mean, we saw the more skillful of the two win, and was very happy to walk away with this win. He actually was a little bit sloppier than he would have hoped for, but all week we kept texting each other saying, "If you can do this, Mike, I'm serious. I think, you know, they're hyping Lane as the favorite in this, but I think actually you're more skilled and more experienced in this." He agreed with me, and it just showed. I think he did just enough in each of the rounds to show that he was the class of the two, and mm-hmm. It was a good performance, and it showed just honestly. I'm going to scream a little bias here. I think it kind of just shows how fighters out on the West Coast get more experience, if not in the fight, in the gym, simply because there's so much talent out here that, I mean, Mike could literally walk from Maywood to Wild Card to Fortune's Gym, up to Oxnard, back to Bakersfield, and get sparring like he's that you cannot get in Texas and in the Midwest. You know, maybe even in the East Coast like New York. You know, when you go from Maywood and get like a tough, rugged, you know, 12-10 Mexican fighter, and go up to Wild Card and get, you know, a 12-1 Filipino lefty. You're running the whole gamut, and I think it really benefits a guy like Dallas, who's getting all this work in, and growing as a fighter. And I think we just saw that today.
You know, it's funny. I was at the wild card the other day, Monday, and just a side note to that, you know, and just talking about the wealth of talent. Eloy Perez was in there training, and they were looking for some sparring, and they like they couldn't get any because everybody in the gym was left-handed. So that was kind of funny. You know, Max
at
Garcia,
wild card?
Nah.
Yeah.
That's and like saying everybody at Maywood is Mexican.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? If you guys go really, really quiet just for a minute, you can actually hear Top Rank laughing at all of us at the moment.
Oh, I know.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, we got 14 minutes left, still counting it down to find out what's going to be said on Top Rank from Bob Arum, the owner, CEO of Top Rank, and the man that runs what Manny Pacquiao is left.
I'll say this about Bob. I love him in the fact that he's the only guy left in this world that still says champion instead of champion. And I dig that about him.
Yeah.
He'll always get my respect because he says we have a championship and this is my world champion. I love that.
Yeah, he's the last link, man, or one of the last links, you know.
He is one of the last links. That he's, and Lou Duva.
Wow, yeah, the thing, Lou Duva. You know, yeah, you know, and then like Bert Sugar, you know, there's still some guys left, but it's, you know, as far as like promoters, I mean, Don King's not really going as strong as he was, but Top Rank is seeing a resurgence. I mean, it's probably Todd, you know, as much as anything, kind of taking some of the brunt, you know, for Bob, but Bob seems, with the competition from Golden Boy, it was like the best thing that ever happened to him. It added like 20 years to his life, you know.
Yeah.
As soon as there was competition, he just seemed to be reinvigorated. You can tell the guy likes a good fight, more ways than one.
Yeah, yeah, not just the actual fight itself, but he likes the actual battle up to the fight. And you know, I think it, yeah, like you said, it gets his creative juices going. And you know, I think it's been good to see two top level promoters go at each other a little bit. I don't like the fact that they're not pitting their fighters against each other, but I do like this. I like to see that, you know, out of this, they're creating new avenues of communication via the internet, via live streaming, stuff like that. And I think they're trying to one up each other. I just wish that they would be adult enough and actually interact with each other and say, you know what, my best 126 versus your best 126. Hey, let's make this an undercard on a stellar pay-per-view that we got. But instead, what we get is, well, they started it. No, they started it. We are just for boxing. No, you started it. And it's just bullshit. You know, you guys just need to be adults about it and realize that the best business for you guys is to do business together. And it's simple as that.
That's exactly right, dude. It reminds me of like...
I need to drink more beer.
You do. You really do. That was a nice riff, man.
12 minutes left, man, remaining to find out what's going to be said from Top Rank. If you want to call in right now, 347-215-7598. We're live right now on Leave It in the Ring.
Can I do a shameless plug real quick? Real quick?
Hold on. Let me make a shameless plug really quick.
Go for it.
If you want to check out the stream and you want to check it out really quick, we are going to stream it up on the Leave in the Ring website, okay? So you can check it out at the same time, listen to the show. We're going to play it over the radio, too, as well and stuff. So go ahead, Ernie.
As you guys know, I work for Everlast, and in the past 6 weeks, I had been working with one particular fighter, a really important fighter to me because he's the epitome of what I was basically hired for, and that's to corner the West Coast, more specifically the Mexican market. And tomorrow, after, you know, several talks and back and forth and actually putting our friendship aside, because actually we're pretty good friends, putting our friendship aside for business, I was happy to announce that I actually got a call at about 1:45 from Beto Angulo's assistant, because we had been working on custom gloves for him. And he at first he kidded me. He said, Beto didn't choose your glove. And I was like, heartbroken. And he goes, no, I'm kidding. He chose your glove. So tomorrow, Beto Angulo will make his debut in the Mexican style Everlast. We custom made it for him in his signature colors of black and silver. It's on my Facebook. If you guys want to see a picture of what they look like, it's Ernest Gabion. No O, no Ernesto. It's Ernest Gabion, Gabion. If you guys want to take a peek of what Fedor will be wearing tomorrow night.
Or you can call him exactly what we call Ernesto. We call him Ernesto Cabron Gavillon. Hey, you know what? I just got told right now was from one of our – we can't embed it. There's no way of putting it. So you know what? Erase that. We're not going to have it on Leaving the Ring. But we are going to put it over the radio so you can hear it, you know, at the same time. But like I said, you want to log on to Top Rank and be just like us. Like me right now. I'm staring at the screen still, and I'm literally counting it down in my head. So I don't know what's worse, man, you know? We got 9 minutes left. 9 minutes.
You know, and we were probably the type of guys that sat there and teased all these high school kids for staying up late and playing Dungeons and Dragons. Isn't that what we're kind of doing right now? I mean, we're being geeks for a sport that really, honestly, you know,
not really.
What's wrong with Dungeons and Dragons?
I know. Hey, you're talking. Gabriel. Gabriel's a Trekkie fan, bro.
Oh, I'm not a Trek fan. I'm a Star Wars guy. I'm a Star Wars guy.
Spock ears in bed.
Wow. I did like the remake, but was never really a big fan. I do enjoy Shatner's work, especially on J. Hooker.
He was Leha.
Especially the alien.
Well, that guy got some serious alien ass. I mean, he was hitting it all over the galaxy. You cannot.
Dude, he searched the far galaxies for puss, and you can't even get any in Hollywood.
That's
going to be a long trip to Rancho Mirage tomorrow.
It really is. It really is.
It's going to be.
Good thing you're not driving. That way I can choke.
It was 118 degrees on Thursday, dude. 118.
God.
It's got time.
Like tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to find out in about 8 minutes. Oh, man. I tell you what, though, there's a lot more happening in the boxing besides just Pretty Boy Floyd and Manny Pacquiao, man. There's another fight that we really want to see happen, and it's between three guys, you know. We got Celestino Caballero, we got Juanma Lopez, and we got Yoriki's Gamboa. Three guys that really, honestly, that have flaws of their own that can really be capitalized, and I think that's what makes it so interesting. If these guys all got involved into a almost like the six-man tournament, because we're really guaranteed to see all three of those guys be dropped.
I think Caballero could beat them all.
I don't know. You know,
I think it's very possible. You know, I like Lopez a lot. I just see a little bit of vulnerability, and I think speed is going to be a problem. And as Mataguas showed, volume is a problem. So he's got the worst two matchups of the group.
When we made a comparisons to Caballero in terms of height, and you know, I can't remember, I think it was you, Gay, we said, you know, he's kind of almost in that same, you know, stigma right now of Paul Williams.
Yeah.
I was like, I really looked at it, I said, you know what, there's more to that, though. He kind of has that style of Paul Williams where he's a tall guy, doesn't really use it. He ends up kind of finding himself in the pocket. He doesn't really turn his punches. He kind of slaps his punches. He slaps his jab out there like Paul Williams and stuff. And to me, it kind of just spells, you know, where he can get countered right away by a guy that's more of a sharpshooter. But when you go to Juanma, to me, if you look at his style, he's a really technically textbook-style boxer-puncher, but then he kind of falls out of that when he gets his man in trouble. He gets sloppy. He tends to get a little sloppy. Then you look at Gamboa, where that guy, you can't really put a finger on what type of style he is, but the guy squares up. He puts his hands down, you know. He pretty much does everything you shouldn't do in the ring.
I think, though, as the competition rises, I think Gamboa, more than the other two, will rise as well. He just, like, against Batagua, he looked tight, looked compact.
You know what? I'm not gonna judge that fight. I'm going to tell you why. How much of Montago was left with Lopez, and before that, he had
some tough
wars. You know what I mean? So I'm not really sure if
that
could have
been
Roger's prime.
Waterloo. Roger. I mean, when you think about it, that could have been his last stand, and he gave everything he had, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it was a stellar effort, and it made for a really great fight. But I think, you know, honestly, when you think about it, I think every really good champ, almost borderline great champ, has a fight like that where they didn't expect things to go their way and they toughed it out. You know, I think a guy like Mayweather, he had, you know, Famoso. He had he had Formoso before that. And he also had Jesus Chavez, and you got to have those fights where you're expected to win, you're expected to win going away, and you actually have to put in work for it. You know, and I think that's what happened with Lopez. You know, he had to put in work for this fight. You know, I think it made him a better fighter. His destruction of Concepcion surprised me, even though we saw a flaw in his system, which, you know, I think is one day will eventually get exposed, but I think it's going to take a stellar fighter to expose it.
That's a great point. I mean, you know, the guy gets dropped and comes back up to win, and, you know, or makes it through that Mataguá fight, he's going to be a better fighter for it. So maybe, you know, because Gamboa, it's not like they're developing him, in my opinion, correctly. I mean, Mataguá, you're right, Dave. I mean, that could have been, you know, the fight after, like you said, the Lopez fight might have been it, the last stand, and then what was left is what we saw against Gamboa. You know, they're all three great fights. So that's the thing. You know, they're all good fighters, and they should get in with each other, and we'll find out. I like the speed and the explosiveness of Gamboa, but I still see the flaw of the bad jab with Lopez. He doesn't quite. I think of him more as a puncher boxer rather than a boxer puncher. He boxes just enough to set up those big shots, and unlike Tito, he doesn't have that kind of quickness that Tito had when he was younger. But I think they're very similar in terms of style and hand placement and everything. But he's just not quite as good as – I wouldn't call him quite a sharpshooter. You know, he's good with single shots, but, like, the combinations aren't crisp. He kind of hasn't mastered range yet. Whereas Gamboa, I just – I don't know. I think the ceiling's higher for him. We'll see, you know. And Caballero is old. You know, he's getting up there. At some point, you know, he's going to either die on the vine or somebody's going to get him. You know, we'll see. Definitely a reason why they're not fighting. Is it time?
No, nope, not yet.
I got really excited.
Oh, man.
How
excited? Not yet, brother. You know? We got three more minutes left. We got three more. I just sounded so depressed right now at this moment.
Hey, did we do picks yesterday at all as to what we're picking this weekend?
No.
Especially tomorrow's show?
I probably want to do that right after because we only got 2 minutes left.
Okay.
You know, and I want to kind of more or less, not get too far into it where, you know, we got to cut ourselves off and stuff, you know. But now I've got the countdown. Like I said, it's two more minutes left. Immediately after this conference, like I'm hoping, it's not going to be very long. It's going to be short, cut, and dry. Tell us pretty much what we want to hear. The phone lines are still going to be open, 347-215-7598. You can call in to either celebrate, if that's the case, or you can call in and rant. Either way, you can call in and express your feelings about what's your thoughts and what you're feeling of the Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. Hopefully fight happens, or shit, I knew it all along.
I knew it all along. Yeah, man. I don't know. We won't get fooled again.
Yeah, I'm just here for the beer.
yeah, pretty much. I'm hoping Bob at least passes out some edibles or something. You know.
You know what? I'll say it right here. If they actually have a fight in place, I will be happy as hell. But I doubt it.
What if he just announces that, you know, Margarito Pacquiao in Mexico?
I'm going to go apply for my passport on Monday.
I've got a passport, actually. It's one of my all-time worst photos of me. It's really
bizarre. Know what? I got to make a quick announcement. Felipe Leon from SDFights.com and Fight News will be joining us as our TJ correspondent and San Diego correspondent. He'll be calling in once out of the month.
Nice.
And, you know, kind of giving us the report of what's happening over there down in the south of the border. And let us know what prospects and what fighters are out. Should we keep an eye out, you know, for our prospect watch? And fights that really are not being televised, he can give us the outcome and the build-up to those guys. So that should be really great. Should be really good.
Yeah, I dig Felipe, man. He's always really fun on Press Row. A formative guy, really knows that beat, you know, like a few other guys do, if anybody else. That's an awesome addition, dude. That's good to hear.
You know, I'm going to take a call really, really quick.
Yeah.
And let's see what they got to say. Then we only got, I think, we only got a few seconds left. So
hurry up. Make it fast.
Go ahead, man. You're on live right now. I'm leaving the ring. Area, it's a private number, so go for it.
It's Floyd.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up, brother? You're on live right now.
Hey, hi, Ralph. My name is Lagos. I'm on Twitter. I kind of contacted Gabe to get me to contact with Ernie. I kept calling him Alex for some reason.
Why?
Gabe, I don't know if you remember.
Well, you can talk to him right here, brother. He's on live right now. I'm leaving the ring. What's on your mind?
Okay, how's it going, man? I just don't think Floyd's going to accept a fight tonight. He's probably going to come back to them later, but I don't think he's going to accept it tonight anyway.
No, I don't either. I think he's going to fight in May. I think the Mosley fight is all he needed to say, to kind of satiate his thirst for this. I think he's kind of, if you think about it, he's kind of taken on the role of Oscar De La Hoya, where he fought once a year. He made it a big spectacle. A lot of people went and saw his fight. A lot of people came on pay-per-view and saw his fight. He's become the new Oscar on this, where he's now a part-time fighter, a really good part-time fighter, but a part-time fighter nonetheless. And I don't think we'll see him fight any time this year.
Well, the big thing is the 14 days, that's the one thing is that, Bob has agreed, they've agreed to the 14 days, but right after the fight, Floyd said that was off the table. Like Ernie, reminded us, and that's just a simple fact, and things changed. Floyd had that fight. They did a ton of pay-per-view buys. It was a successful fight for him. The bargaining chips got moved around.
Lego, I'm going to put you on hold really quick, brother, because it's going to be going live right now, and then as soon as it's over, we'll take everybody's calls and patch them through of what their thoughts about the announcement. It should be getting on there right now. So let's see, man. What's happening here? Hasn't came up yet. We're still waiting. Come on, man. Just let us know.
You already know what's going to happen. I can do my
while we're waiting.
If you want.
This is not even cool, man.
Hey, Ernie. I forget which fight it was. I think it was Oscar and Floyd that was sponsored by Tecate. And I don't know if you got one, but they sent me
a tall
boy.
That's what he's drinking
right now, Tecate. I know. No, that's why I'm asking.
I'm drinking Sam Adams Summer Ale right
beer? Now. Oh, wow.
Huh?
How very Midtown lesbian of you.
No blue.
What?
No. I said,
no, that's
very
not
lesbian.
Beer.
Oh, well, there you go.
What were you saying, Ernie? Go ahead, man.
No, I forgot that. What the hell I was going to say.
I mean,
Gabe
that was talking. What happened?
I was asking you. Tecate sent me like an honorary Mayweather. I think it was Mayweather and Oscar beer during that.
Oh yeah, I remember
that promotion.
That. Mm-hmm.
Did you get one too? It was like 16 ounces or something. It was kind of cool. I don't know.
Big old. You know what? That whole weekend, that was the best deal in all of Vegas because the beers. You know how they jacked them up? They were like $9.75 for a regular 12-ounce beer, but the Tecate cans were $7.75. You got 20-something ounces of it.
Can you guys hear that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you hear that clear?
Yeah.
It's actually very soothing.
Yeah, okay. It actually sounds like Dave's mood music to where he's going to start.
Oh, when you mean when he premiered in Taco Heaven? Talk about breaking balls today on the show, huh?
I know. We're actually talking about a sequel to Taco Heaven. There was some preliminary talks about that, so we'll see.
Okay, well, it's not on yet. I mean, they lied to us already. It's already almost 2 minutes past the midnight hour.
They're locating Floyd from the nearest strip joint.
That shouldn't be too hard. There's a bunch of them right around the corner.
Yeah, that's why it's hard. They can't find them. There's like five of them.
Well,
maybe he's at the
man.
Roller rink. Or the shooting gallery.
347-215-7598. If you want to call in and express, if we have a reason to celebrate after the press conference or the rant of something that we probably already knew that was going to happen, you can on Leaving in the Ring. We are live right now. Boxing Scene's official radio show. You're on with David Duenas, Ernesto Gavillon, and Gabriel Montoya. Ernesto, what do you have to say?
I'll be laughing right now. Somewhere down in Tijuana, in the hills of Tijuana, a certain Mexican fighter is going, yes!
I told you.
Stupid.
This is my fight.
I told you, stupid. Here we go. Nope. Another song.
Boo.
What's that? What is this? The greatest hits of Bob Arum's CD case?
He pulled out the Barry Manilow CD and
he said, fuck them, put it on.
I don't care if they don't like it.
Yeah, fuck them.
They've been up late enough already. They'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Suckers.
Yeah, bitches.
God. Please help us. Yeah, definitely this music is making me sleepy.
Rub one out. We're going to start doing the Dave Watts. Rub one out. Only the classic.
Let me ask you this really quick. You know,
I usually do that right before this.
Ask your question, Dave. Hurry up.
You down.
What's the number of beers right now you are on at the moment?
six, going on seven.
Wow.
That's it. We've been on for almost an hour, and you're barely down to almost one and a half.
Well, he put in his road work before, you know. Now he's just kind of on cruise control.
Yeah.
Just kind of maintaining that easy Vegas buzz. Getting ready for the desert tomorrow. I think it's going to be so
productive. Oh my God.
Are you?
Yeah, no. Hey, I'll be right back. I got to go change the air conditioning.
Wow.
Did he say his canciones or the air conditioning?
That's actually Mexican for calzones. You're going to be there tomorrow, right, at the fight?
No, I'm not, actually. I gave my credential to Art from Stand and Fight because, there's some things that came up. I got to take care of some things. You know, fortunately, yeah. I came up with leaving of the ring that I got to take care of tomorrow. So,
I don't know what I'm more excited about is the fights or the drive down with Steve Kim and Ernie to the desert.
I don't know what's more sad at this moment, that I'm bobbing my head to this music or I'm staring at the screen waiting for press conference to happen.
Did you just say bobbing your head?
I'm bobbing my head to the music, you know what I mean?
Ooh.
Like it's hip-hop, actually.
Oh, okay. I thought you were bobbing your head to something else. Actually, we're going to have good times tomorrow, Gabe. The drive-up's going to be money.
We got to stop at Hadley's and get a date shake, man. I don't know if you ever stop in Cabazon.
I mean, remember, I was born in Coachella, so
That's right. I practically grew up there. My family's all from there. Yeah,
yeah.
So the Hadley's is a staple.
Here we go. Here we go.
All right.
Mr. Sternberg. Go ahead, Mr. Sternberg. Thank you very much. Well, good evening and good morning, no matter where, somewhere in the world. I guess we're covering all the time bases here. Thank you for joining us. There really isn't a whole lot to say here. I'm just going to turn it over to Hall of Fame promoter Bob Arum to fill us in on the latest in terms of Manny Pacquiao. Bob, it's all yours.
Hey, thank you, Fred. And I hope everybody, before they got into the conference, gave their addresses to the operator because we're serving breakfast after the call to be delivered to your house. In any event, I'm only kidding, obviously. But the purpose of this call is to bring you all up to date as to what happened. And selfishly for myself, obviate having to take a lot of calls this weekend because hopefully I'll be able to answer all the questions that you may have. Just to start this out, about 2 months ago, a few days after the Mayweather-Mosley fight, I got a call from Ross Greenberg, the president of HBO Sports, who asked me, frankly, whether myself and Manny Pacquiao wanted to do the fight against Floyd Mayweather. I assured him that yes, I had talked to Manny, and that was the case. And from there, I had a couple of conversations with Ross, and I laid out all the terms that would be acceptable to our side. And I also informed him about the concession that Manny had made regarding a drug test. He got back to me in a couple of weeks and told me that he had had discussions with Al Haymon representing Floyd Mayweather, and that everything looked good, and we were nearing a resolution. The subsequent conversations with Ross detailed to me conversations he had with Al Haymon. Nowhere was the name Richard Schaefer, or Golden Boy, mentioned, although I read, as you all did, Oscar's statement that a deal was close. So I assume from that Haymon was keeping Schaefer and Golden Boy abreast of the situation. Ross, for the last month, has been telling me that Haymon was working very, very hard. A couple of weeks ago, I told him that, look, you know, I wanted to do this fight very badly. And so did Manny, but at a particular point in time, we'd have to move on. By moving on, I mean that I had agreed with Ross early on that we would not negotiate any other fight for Manny during this negotiation period for a fight with Floyd, and I've had no negotiations with any other opponent, whether it's Margarito or Cotto. I've never had any discussions with either of them or their representative regarding a fight with Manny Pacquiao. I told Ross that this Friday was our deadline for the end of the exclusivity period, and I tell you that next week I'll be talking to the Cotto camp and the Margarito camp regarding a fight with Manny Pacquiao. People have asked me, or have asked people in top rank, does that mean that the Mayweather fight is dead? And even though Mayweather hasn't responded by the deadline, my answer is a simple one. It's dead when we conclude a deal with an opponent for Manny's fight in November. And then we're contractually bound to do that fight. And we would look, hopefully, to do a fight with Floyd next year. But if in the interim, while this was going on, Floyd suddenly emerged and said yes, he wanted to do the fight, there would be nothing opposed to getting together and doing the fight. So that's our position. I hope it's as clear as I can make it. I don't want to go into any conjecture as to why and what. I'm just reporting what the facts are, and now we can open it up for questions.
Operator, can we open the queue up for questions, please?
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions at this time, please press the number one key on your phone. Again, if you have any questions at this time, please press the number one key on your phone. Please hold until the questions come into queue.
It's gay.
I hope somebody gets on there and says, you had us wait for this.
Someone ask a damn question. Shit.
The first question comes from Dan Raphael with ESPN. Go ahead.
Oh, figures the fatty would.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning. 3:15 here. My question. question for you is...
I'm three deep into my breakfast.
At what point, while you're negotiating with the reps for Kono and for Margarito, how deep into it would you be willing to change if Floyd presented himself? Do you need to have a signed contract with these guys, or could you be up to the last minute and tell these guys, hey, by the way, just in case you want to know, if Floyd comes out of hiding and decides to take this offer, you know, we're going to cut you off right here. I mean, how are you going to handle that?
The answer is that we wouldn't need a signed contract if Manny committed and I committed, either Cotto or Margarito, they committed to me, that would be a deal. The signed contract would be later. But while these negotiations were going on, while I was talking to Manny, if Floyd came to the table, that's the fight that we want more than all others, no question about it.
During this entire period, did you have any direct conversations with any representative for Mayweather, or did you go strictly through Ross Greenberg?
Strictly through Ross Greenberg.
Did you find that to be unusual?
Well, you know, Ross was committed to make the fight happen, and, you know, as the head of HBO Sports, I felt that the best chance to make the fight happen was to do everything through Ross, almost like he was the mediator, and I still believe that it was the right way to go, and it obviously didn't work out, not because Ross didn't do a good job, because I think he did in talking to myself and Al Haymon, but obviously the problem was that Floyd, for whatever reason, and I'm sure he has some valid reason, didn't want to commit.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Our next question comes from Kevin Ioli with Yahoo Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Hey, Ken.
I missed the part of your opening statement because I was getting stuck getting in, so you may have addressed this, but specifically, why was the deadline today as opposed to next week or even a little bit after, you know, Roger's trial?
A good question. You understand what the deadline is. The deadline is the end of the exclusivity period, because we now have to go out and secure an opponent for Manny Pacquiao, assuming that it won't be Floyd, and we have to then mount the campaign. We have to get in touch with the television networks, in-demand and DirecTV and Dish, and get everything in order. I mean, time is going by. And also, we have to start scheduling press conferences, because in Manny Pacquiao, I'm not dealing with the normal type of fighter where you can schedule press conferences willy-nilly. Firstly, he's over in the Philippines, and secondly, he has his duties, which he takes very seriously as a congressman in the Philippines. And therefore, we're limited to when we can schedule press conferences in the United States.
Sure. And again, you may, since I didn't hear the first couple minutes of your statement, you may have addressed this, but did you or Todd or anybody on your side reach out to the Mayweather side today and say, hey, well, you know, we're coming. Is there anything going on?
No. The answer is no. The answer is we have never talked to anybody on the Mayweather side. That all conversations on our part were through Ross Greenberg, and he reported on all conversations on the Mayweather side from Al Haymon.
Okay, and just two other questions, if I could, Bob. Number one, you said on June 30th that you thought there were no issues remaining and that the thing was done. Is that still your position now, and that just Floyd decided that he didn't want to fight this year?
Yes, that's based on my conversations with Ross Greenberg. In other words, understand, I've never talked to anybody on the Mayweather side.
Right.
Yeah, I've never talked to Mayweather. I've only talked to Ross Greenberg, who represented to me certain things that he had discussed with Al Haymon on behalf of Mayweather.
Okay. And then lastly, you know, I know you mentioned Cotto or Margarito. Most speculation has been Margarito. And if it happens to be Margarito, given, you know, the circumstances of his 2009 fight, given that he hasn't won a really big fight subsequently, why would he deserve a chance at Manny Pacquiao?
Well, that's the you know, I'm not going to take that up now. That's something that you can editorialize if and when a fight with Margarito is made.
Okay, and then my last question for you. If the fight doesn't get made, do you think it has a negative impact on the sport? And when I say the fight, I mean the Mayweather fight.
Wait a second. I am sure, without knowing, that there is a very, very good reason that Floyd Mayweather has for not committing to a fight at this time. I really and truly believe that. Now I'm speculating. One of the reasons could be that the uncertainty regarding Roger Mayweather, and that is people who don't know that Roger Mayweather. Would feel if he had to go into a fight like this without the services of Freddie Roach. And presumably, Floyd would feel the same way going into a big fight like this without the services of his uncle, Roger, who has been training him for an N number of years.
Thank you, Bob.
Our next question comes from Greg Leon of Boxing Talk. Go ahead, Greg.
How's it going, Bob?
Boo.
With nearly 4 months out between now and November, why the rush? The first time around, the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight seemed to be in discussion all the way up until the first week of January. The fight with Claudio got scheduled on 2 months' notice. Why the sudden need to implement a deadline and have this call with? Because the exclusivity period is over 4 months out. Isn't there another week or two of leeway that could have been given since the fight is so big?
No, not really, because, again, now I'm dealing with a very unusual situation. I'm representing a fighter who's also a congressman, and he has legislative duties, and he has commitments in the Philippines. And I've got really short windows to do various aspects of the promotion.
Right, but if he's going to fight on November 13th, whenever the press conference is going to take place, that date would have changed, would it?
Yes, it will. I'm going to have to do press conferences a lot further out than might ordinarily be the case. He'll be training as a sitting congressman and will have to fit his training into legislative sessions. As I understand that the Congress sits 3 days a week.
Okay. How quickly do you anticipate you'll be able to verbally close a deal with either Margarito or Cotto?
I have no idea, but I would assume that... you know, a week or so. First of all, I have to get Manny's views as to, you know, I have to discuss with Manny who he prefers, et cetera, you know, and then get everything put together.
All three athletes are under your banner, which means you would have promotional control. Is the ultimate decision as it relates to who the opponent is going to be, does that fall on Manny or is that a top-ranked executive decision?
It falls on Manny.
If you had your preference, who would it be?
I'm not going to say because I don't want to prejudice the situation. I want Manny to decide. He's a very intelligent guy. He's going to know what the considerations are. And whoever he selects is who will go after and make the fight.
You're a very intelligent guy.
patient guy, too. Although you suggested to Kevin that he could editorialize it earlier however he chooses, in your opinion, do you think that Margarito deserves such a fight?
That's the same answer I gave to Kevin. Do we have another questioner?
Operator?
Our next question comes from Steve Kim of MaxBoxing.com. Go ahead, Steve.
Good morning. I want to make this clear. When you talk to the representatives of Miguel Cotto and Antonio Margarito, can you let us know what you have to tell them in terms of the time frame that you need to make a deal for November 13th, either side?
Yeah, it would be within the next 10 days.
Okay, and it's that simple?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Right.
Our next question comes from Greg Logan of Newsday. Go ahead, Greg.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
You said that you did everything through Greenberg and that you thought you had the framework for a deal. How close do you feel that you were, and did the other side relay any hint of why Mayweather was not ready to commit?
A very good question. The answer is no. They kept assuring Greenberg, at least based on what Greenberg told me, that it was imminent, and that Heyman told him that he was working on it. I expect shortly, and of course, just never materialized. But I don't blame Heyman. I think Heyman really tried, at least based on what I get from Greenberg, Heyman really tried to put the fight together.
And you mentioned Richard Schaefer before, kind of obliquely. Did you get any indication that he also was on board?
No, Schaefer's name was never really mentioned by Ross. It was all Al Heyman. The only feeling I had that Golden Boy might be involved, or that Heyman might be talking to Golden Boy, was when Oscar said on television or radio that the deal was very the closing. So I assume that at that point, Heyman had talked to Schaefer, and Schaefer had talked to Oscar.
And as far as the specifics of what Manny agreed to regarding blood testing for drugs, we've seen it reported that there was a 2-week window that was a cutoff period. Did Heyman, through Greenberg, agree to that?
I don't want to go into specifics, but I think that issue was resolved. Not as clear-cut as you're saying it, but I believe it was resolved, and I don't want to go into the details.
Okay, but you were satisfied that Heyman, that their side could accept whatever conditions you...
That's what it seemed to me based on what I was hearing from Ross. Remember, like I said, I don't want any impression to be out there that I ever talked to Heyman or to Schaefer or anybody else. I didn't.
Okay, and finally for me, if you do have to move on to Margarito or Cotto, what would the attraction be for a Cotto rematch?
Well, the Cotto rematch would be that Manny would be going for an eighth title, fighting at a higher weight, and that Miguel would have in his corner Emanuel Stewart, one of the great corner men of our time. I mean, that certainly would give Cotto more ammunition than he had going into the fight last time.
And if it's Margarito, as far as the California Commission putting off any further hearing on him, where do you go for him?
Well, number one, we've asked the the Nevada Commission, based on the California putting it off, to give on the 13th of November. Hopefully, from Margarita's standpoint, they will agree to that. If not, if Manny decides that he wants Margarita, we would do the fight in Monterrey, Mexico. There's big advantages to Manny to do the fight outside the United States.
Okay, thanks very much, Bob.
Right.
Our next question comes from Mark Wicker of the Orange County Register. Go ahead, Mark.
Bob, does Pacquiao's congressional schedule have a recess? You said he will be in session 3 days a week, but is there a particular time of the year when they don't meet?
Yeah, there is, and it's very sort of complicated. And one thing I know is when he fights, he might go out of session for 3 weeks. So the idea would be that he would train in Manila, and Freddie would be over there, and he's in session Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, so he's off Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and he would still train Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday after the congressional session concluded for the day. And he would not come to the wild card train until 3 weeks before the fight. That was the plan that was relayed to me.
So when they schedule a fight, whenever it is, say November, whenever he fights.
The 13th, yeah.
So then the Congress will dissolve just because everybody...
Yeah, because they can't get a quorum.
Right. In your heart of hearts, do you think that Floyd and Manny will ever fight? There's a lot of cynicism around boxing about that the fight might not happen, even though it's the fight everybody wants to see.
Well, it would be a shame if it didn't happen.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think any of you guys should be too harsh on Floyd in this situation. I would have liked him to communicate, but, you know, the uncle has an effect. I mean, I would think that, you know, putting myself in their shoes, I would feel a lot of reluctance going into this big fight without my trainer. And until, you know, we're not going to know what the outcome of this criminal situation is for quite some time.
Hey, thanks.
Right.
Our next question comes from Steve Karp with the Las Vegas Review Journal. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Steve.
Okay. It almost sounds as if you're giving Floyd an extension, so to speak, if you would, by I think you can maybe get this a deal done with either Margarita or Cotto in the next 10 days. Would that be an accurate kind of portrayal of the scenario?
The fight that we wanted to is that we haven't ever said anything different. We haven't acted anything differently. But he has to fight, man. He wants to fight in November. So, you know, we're going to proceed with all deliberate speed, getting him an opponent and wrapping up the fight. But if in the interim Floyd decides that despite the Roger situation, he's ready to fight Manny, absolutely, that's the fight we want.
Bob, the other thing is, with several variables in place for Margarito, the license issue notwithstanding, do you foresee this negotiation with his camp or with Tony's camp for that matter to go relatively quick and relatively smooth?
I would think so. I know both of them, and I've never had difficulties with either camp arriving at a deal. I mean, they're, you know, Miguel went along when he fought
guarantee than they wanted, but there was a good upside, and he ended up making more money than he would have if he had achieved that higher guarantee. So there's a lot of credibility there as far as the Cotto camp with working a deal where there's a reasonable guarantee and a good upside. And same thing for Margarito. When he fought Miguel, he took a reasonable guarantee and got quite a bit of extra money on the upside.
Bob, I just said one other thing. The first time you guys tried to make this fight for March, your tone toward Mayweather was less than conciliatory. This time, you've been very conciliatory. I'm wondering what changed. Did you and Ross, did Ross talk to you about maybe toning down the rhetoric, or did you feel the best way to catch this fly was with honey rather than vinegar?
No, well, not really so. I mean, right now, I understand Floyd's position, or I believe his position, regarding Roger. I mean, we all know, we live in Las Vegas, you and I. We know this serious issue regarding Roger. And I can understand Floyd delaying any plans for a future fight until there's a resolution of the Roger situation.
Right.
I understand that. So, you know, once you understand that, I mean, how can you jump on the guy and start, you know, saying the same things I said last month?
Gotcha. All right, thank you, Bob.
Bye.
Our next question comes from Jaime Mota with ESPN Deportes. Go ahead, Jaime.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good.
Bob, you said that you have a specific amount of time to be able to put this thing together. So if you do close a deal with either Margarito or Cotto within the next 10 days, when would that press conference take place?
I can't give you an exact date now, but it would take place sometime early August.
Okay, well, you said that if...
week in August, something like that.
Okay. You mentioned that if it's Margarito, then you would take it, the fight. Presumably, if he doesn't get the provisionary license from Nevada, that you would take the fight to Monterrey, Mexico.
Yes.
Would it be set in an arena or a soccer stadium?
In an arena. I believe they built a new arena in Monterrey. Fernando Beltran was telling us about it. And our sponsor, Tecate, in Mexico, and the governor of the state are all, you know, making major effort to bring that fight to Monterrey. And you realize that there's a tremendous advantage economically for Pacquiao in the fight being in Mexico, because if the fight's in the United States, the withholding is 30%, and we're not obligated to withhold anything.
Cotto, there's also been rumors that you had been considering a fight in Abu Dhabi, or would that fight definitely have to be in Vegas?
No. A Cotto fight would be, I mean, Abu Dhabi, the people came to me and talked with me, but nothing concrete's been done, or, you know, not even remotely. So I look at that as, and I've talked with you, with my friends at the UFC, regarding the difficulties they had, you know, logistically, because the people were very cooperative, but logistically doing their event in Abu Dhabi. And probably for Cotto, I would look more at Cowboys Stadium in Dallas, that's reserving that date, or maybe Las Vegas.
Thank you, Bob.
Diane Castillejo. Go ahead, Diane.
Hi, Bob. Diane's the only one with an advantage because what? It's the afternoon there right now, or the morning in early morning in the Philippines, right?
No, actually, it's 3:40 in the afternoon of Saturday.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. Anyway, Bob, I just wanted to. I guess we can assume that Ross Greenberg did not communicate with you at all before 12 midnight tonight with any message whatsoever from Floyd Mayweather, or was there any message?
No, was no message. You're absolutely correct.
Okay, and will he continue to be talking to the Mayweather camp?
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
Okay, and finally, sorry, I got cut off with the audio a little earlier. Where would you do the Cotto fight if it would be Cotto and the Margarita, and where would you do the Margarita fight?
Margarita fight would either be in at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas or in Monterrey, Mexico, and the Cotto fight would be in Cowboys Stadium or the MGM Grand.
Okay. Thanks. That's all. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
Our next question comes from Steve Kim of MaxBoxing.com. Go ahead, Steve.
Bob, I forgot to ask this the last time. Number one, are Cotto and Margarito the only other options besides Mayweather? And if you can't strike a deal with them, where does a guy like Tim Bradley or anyone else stand?
Well, Tim Bradley is fighting Saturday, right?
Right.
And, Tim Bradley is a tremendous fighter, and he's a great young man. But the problem with a guy like Tim Bradley is that even though you and I know what a superb fighter he is, the public really doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of these promoters shouting out names are very good fighters. What I consider them to be free riders.
Mm-hmm.
We spend hundreds of thousands of dollars building up our fighters, publicizing them so that they are pay-per-view attractions, losing money on a lot of events, but we make them pay-per-view attractions. These other promoters, they don't really promote their fighters. They take money from HBO or Showtime. They take money from a little Indian casino, and they think they're doing the kid a big service. But I'm not going to let them free ride on the work that we've done.
Mm-hmm. So, Bob, you're not hearing the drums being banged by Dan Goosen as it relates to Paul Williams?
Oh, Dan, Paul Williams is a tremendous fighter. He's really a great fighter. But he's never been paid correctly. He doesn't have any following. He can't sell any tickets. And, nobody is financing a pay-per-view just the way they finance an HBO fight. HBO pays the money. On a pay-per-view fight, I'm the one that's financing. I'm not going to let anybody free ride.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bob. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
And the questions are ready.
Okay, HBO real quick. I know you said Ross really wanted to make this fight happen. If HBO, would they be equally committed to a fight with Cotto, Margarito, or anybody else as they are with Mayweather?
Well, obviously, there would be great disappointment. And there is great.
Bob has Metamucil to take right now?
Not having a Pacquiao Mayweather fight. No question about it. But Pacquiao has done business for them on pay-per-view. Assume that they would be interested in being the distributor on Pacquiao's fight, either against Cotto or Margarito. And if I'm wrong about that, and I don't think I am, obviously Showtime and CBS are very interested. So, that's not something that really concerns me.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Right.
Our next question comes from Michael Marley of Examiner.com. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Bob. I got on the call late, so if this was asked, I apologize. But do you think, Bob, that you're setting a public deadline for Mayweather?
Oh,
was
Bob,
a mistake that he wanted to see that, like, he's jumping through his side, he's jumping through hoops based on a date?
Hey, Bob, let me get under your desk and ask this question.
Another call, and I'm not going to go back. It's too late. Find out from somebody else what I've kind of deadline talking about.
Okay, Bob.
Operator, let's just take two more calls, and then we'll call it a night or a morning.
Okay, our next question comes from Sergio Mercado of AOL Latino. Go ahead, Sergio.
I thought it would be Sergio Diaz.
Good morning from Miami, Bob. So from your standpoint of view, what do you think the boxing fanatics are going to think about everything that's been going on? It's obvious that they want the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. So, you know, boxing fans are going to say something. So from the top right view, what do you think it's going to be?
Hmm?
I think the boxing fans are going to be disappointed, but they have to realize they have to cut Floyd Mayweather some slack. I mean, we know that his uncle is facing some difficulties in the courts in Nevada, and I can see his reluctance to commit to a big fight with Manny Pacquiao without having the services of his uncle. And if the boxing fans begrudge that, and well, that's really
got mail.
That's really sad. I really believe that people should be understanding. I mean, Floyd Mayweather is not saying that he'll never fight Manny Pacquiao, and Manny Pacquiao is not saying that if Floyd's not available in November, Pacquiao's not going to fight him. There's always next year. There's something that is bad for the Mayweather family, and we all have to understand it.
And last question, why Cotto in Dallas and not Vegas?
I didn't say that.
Well, there's a possibility that you said that if it's Cotto, it might be in Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Why not Vegas?
I did say Vegas. Cowboys Stadium or the MGM.
Someone hang up on this guy.
Okay.
I'm fine. Thank you. Fucking idiot.
Take another call, please.
No more calls.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Bob. Would Margarito and or Cotto make about the same, do you think?
Let me negotiate first with them, and then I'll tell you.
And what would Manny, how much different would Manny be, do you think, you know, from, of course, with a Mayweather fight to one of those two?
I've got to discuss it with Manny. And again, these negotiations will be starting the next couple of days. And right now, I've adhered to my promise to Ross, and I haven't negotiated with anybody, Manny or either of those fight camps, about a fight in November, because we were focused on a fight. And so now I have to start talking with them. And I can't answer those questions until I do.
And lastly, I just want to follow up on something you said when we were at Yankee Stadium, and you were talking about the way Pacquiao draws those Asian high-rolling gamblers. Obviously, his fight with Cotto, I think the MGM reporter, the Nevada Gaming Commission reporter, it was their best night in 3 years, I think they said.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Given that, does that give Cotto any kind of an edge, given that he was part of a fight that, you know, did such big business and would presumably do it again?
No, the Asian gamblers came because
see Manny to be in a very good fight. And I would think that they would have the same feeling, whether it's Margarito or Cotto, in November.
Thank you.
Right.
Dan Raphael of ESPN. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Bob.
Did Bob just say come on?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you suppose that if in fact all these things that you're talking about,
Batty Askett,
perhaps not taking this fight at this moment because of the situation with Roger, that he wouldn't at least communicate that to you or to Ross or to the public or to the press or whatever, as opposed to just having utter and complete silence for the past 2 months about the whole situation?
Dan, I can't answer that question without speculating. I just don't know what the answer is.
Well, you speculated that the reason might be Roger, so maybe you want to extrapolate a little bit further.
Because I know the Roger situation. Why Floyd hasn't articulated it, I have no idea. I can't answer it.
So are you surprised? You had said to me the other day, and I think to some other guys, that you thought that Floyd would at least give you the whole thing of the courtesy of a response. Obviously, that did not happen. Are you surprised by that in any way?
Listen, I've been in this business 40-something years. Nothing surprises.
Then how about this? Are you disappointed that that nobody on his team has said one word to anybody, negatively, positively, or otherwise?
Who knows? Who knows the reason for that? Again, it's relatively unfathomable.
So you are surprised, huh?
I'm not surprised. Can't figure it out.
Gotcha.
But no, there's a lot of things I can't figure out.
You guys are keeping Bob from his warm milk. Let him get off the air.
That's past all of our bedtimes. Bob, thank you for the time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, everybody. Just a reminder, there's going to be a replay of this call available on the Top Rank website. That's www.toprank.com. I'm not sure exactly what time it will be up, but it should be up very shortly. So for anyone who tuned in late, you can get the answers to a lot of the questions that you want to ask.
And thank you guys for coming on this call. I know it's a pain in the butt to give up a lot of sleep to listen to this stuff, but I really appreciate you taking part in this call.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Bob.
Well, what did I tell you? I can just say it right now. I told you so. I told you so, April and Ernie and everybody else around the world, as the world awaits for nothing. Just the same old, same old.
It's the world masturbates, basically. That's what it was. I mean, come on. You know, and I'm trying to tell these guys out there, you know, it's they're sitting there saying, oh, well, you know, Ross Greenberg, wait a minute, you guys didn't even know his name until Bob mentioned it. Now you guys are sitting there going, well, Ross Greenberg was negotiating on behalf. Wait a minute. Weren't you guys sitting there looking on the teeth of Bob Arum saying, believing everything Bob Arum said? And now that Bob said, I had no direct contact with anybody in Mayweather's camp, you're saying, oh, well, Ross Greenberg did. He's solid. He's HBO. He's non-biased. Wait a minute. How do you know that? How do you know anything that you went from believing in the Bob now to sitting there believing a guy you've probably never even heard of up until tonight? It's ridiculous. I mean, honestly, it's just ridiculous. This is just another media circus that Bob, you know, sold us on and we bit into.
I've been in this business 47 years. I've been screwing people over since day one.
Let's hope this motherfucker don't make 50.
You know, here's the thing.
I
couldn't get through on the call. I sat on hold that whole damn time.
It's because you're not Steve Kim.
I know. Steve got to go twice. Dan got to go twice. I think Kevin went twice. Gabe didn't even get to go once. But that's par for my course. But
well, you know,
what's interesting is
if you've seen the buffet line, you know Dan always goes.
Fuck
him. But here's the thing: is the one of the questions I wanted to ask is one. If this is the end of the period of exclusivity, then why was Mike Conn reported to be talking to the Cotto camp 2 weeks ago? Also, okay, I understand the economics of not making Bradley and Williams, and also why does Bob know what sites he's already going to do in talking to, you know, Abu Dhabi? That's actually setting up for other fights. That's not exclusivity. So that's a bunch of bullshit. But then, two, you know, I understand the economics of not fighting Williams or Berto or Bradley, but those are good fights. So basically what he's saying is he's not in the boxing business. He's in the top-ranked business.
Well, wasn't Joshua Kaladi in the same boat, didn't have
exactly
a fan
base? Right. Exactly.
And it's not like none of these guys would take a 90-10 split from Manny, because a 90-10 split is still more than they've ever made. I mean, it's ridiculous for Bob to sit there and circle jerk us to the point where we're sitting there once again. You know, I'm sure most of the, I mean, you, me, and Dave probably sat there and called bullshit, but most of these guys are lapping this up like it was Manny's jizz.
No, a reach around is much more friendly than what Bob
did. I mean, come on. I mean, this is just another a PR tactic from Bob. Where I mean, and did anybody? I mean, between the three of us, did anybody not catch how polite he was to Floyd about everything?
That was my other question. Hey. Somebody did ask it. Why the change of heart? You know, you called him a coward like 6 months ago.
Here's my theory. Here's my theory right now, real quick, and I'll let Dave speak. I think both sides didn't want this fight in November. Not this fight. Manny wants to fight in November, but not Mayweather. And I also, why? Because I think Freddie and Bob sat there and said, you know what? What's going to happen? Well, Manny's going to have another camp in the Philippines. Again? Yeah, he's going to have another camp in the Philippines. Okay. Well, maybe we shouldn't fight Mayweather if we have to have a camp in the Philippines. Okay, let's see what Floyd says. Floyd says, well, I'm not sure if I want this fight in November. Why? Well, I'm not sure if Roger's going to be, you know, be out by then. I don't know if he's going to be in trouble by then. Oh, okay, well, that's kind of convenient right now. Well, then, you know what, let's table this to May. You know, Manny can go on and fight in November, which is what Bob said. No matter what, Manny's fighting in November. I think it fits and benefits both sides. You know, Manny gets a camp in the Philippines and doesn't fight a guy like Mayweather, and Floyd can assure that he has Roger in his corner next when he fights Manny. You know, it just makes sense to me.
Well, yeah. All I could say is,
fuck both of them.
We have literally wasted almost an hour of time that we're never going to get back. The other thing is. The guys that were even calling in, you guys were asking the same goddamn questions.
Yep.
You know, I mean, listen to each other. You know, I mean, come up with something a little bit different.
And that just shows you how unique and syncopant we are as media. I mean, shit, no one wanted to ask. I mean, you don't have to be a dick about it, but you do have to ask the question that is kind of difficult to answer.
I mean, when he says, well, nobody knows Timothy Bradley, and
right,
we're not going to ride on so-and-so's, you know, we're not going to let another promoter ride on our coattail. Well, listen, isn't that the way you came up in the beginning?
It should be a sport, right?
Exactly. Isn't this a sport that you give back to the fans that are spending all this money? And to say that nobody knows about Timothy Bradley, well, why is it on your top rank site right now? The poll, Timothy Bradley's the third guy.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes no sense.
He's definitely in the mix. And, you know, I know obviously Bob's not the webmaster, but to say the guy that's going to be
not the webmaster, but definitely your people are in tune and what fights are out there that are available. And the honest truth, Miguel Cotto, Antonio Margarito, I'd rather see Timothy Bradley get the shot, or Andre Berto, or even throw in Paul Williams. You know what I'm saying? Why do we need to see a mirror of what's going to happen to Miguel Cotto again at 154? Why should we give Antonio Margarito another big payday in Monterrey in Mexico? Come on, man. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't. To me, it doesn't. I mean, it makes top rank sense. It doesn't make boxing sense to me. I mean, I understand that the business of boxing, it makes some sense. You know, the economics of it, that these guys are bigger names, and you can do big numbers with those fights in those venues, you know, in those matchups. But, you know, at the same time, I know Ernie always puts down the Z's on me on this, but, you know, this is what you get when you decide to go with the belt system and go, not so much even with the belt system, that's like a separate issue. This is the sport as business transaction per fight. This isn't a sport. It's not an organized business. You know, Top Rank is in a position where they've got a top fighter and they can match him against their own people. Because that's the question you have to ask is, you know, are those names being thrown out because they're the easiest to make fights with? Because both of those guys are wanting. Cotto's wanting a big fight like that, another shot at Manny and another big payday. And Margarito is in need of a big fight as well. You know, and there's not many fights you can match those guys with right now to make big money.
Well,
this only benefits them. It doesn't benefit us in any way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm going to be the first to apologize to all the fight fans that had to, you know, kind of go through this.
No, don't apologize. Yes. You know what? You did the proper thing. You covered an event that was supposed to be covered.
No. We did the proper thing and covered an event that needed to be covered. I'm just apologizing because you're never going to get those minutes back. And I don't know about you, but I got an earache from hearing all the BS that was being mushed out of everybody's, you know, voice in this whole press conference. The other thing, too, is if you want to call in and rant with us, 347-215-7598 is the number to call Boxing Scene's official radio show, Leave It in the Ring, and speak to myself, Dave Duenison, Ernesto Gabion, and Gabriel Montoya. You can right now. The lines are open. I apologize if we didn't patch you in during the press conference call, but I was just hoping we were going to get something good from the many guys that were allowed to call into the media press conference, that we were going to get somebody to really kind of push the envelope there. But, hey, I tell you what, Bob Arum showed the father in a couple of those calls.
Well, I think the one good thing that came out of this is that fans got an inside peek at a conference call, and they got to see a lot of softballs thrown at a guy that they were kind of, I don't know, afraid of, or that they were kind of kowtowing to a little bit.
Yeah, the fans that are on our radio show right now, that's exactly how much kiss ass that people like Dan and Kevin do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they were throwing them, they were lobbing questions that they already knew the answer to, or almost kind of giving them the answer in some regards. And I'm not going to name names here, but everybody got to hear the questions that were asked.
I don't need to name.
I will.
Ernesto already did it.
I will. Hey, Bob, this is Dan from under your desk.
You know, I thought Dan at least went. I thought he did some good work towards the end, actually, when he kind of basically called Bob Arum out and said, you're kind of putting out a line of propaganda that it's about Roger. You're speculating on that. Floyd has never said that. Not one member of that camp, and you and Ernie have seen those guys in person. I know Sam. I know, you know, Leonard, all those guys. They haven't said dick about that. Bob, he had mentioned it 5 or 6 times, maybe more, throughout the conference call, this line of, and he said it, like, I think about 2-3 weeks ago in the press, that Floyd might be worried about not having his trainer. Now, either they've had the conversations you were speculating about behind the scenes, or Bob is putting out a line that's you know, and that people are going to try to buy, you know, he's hoping they'll buy hook, line, and sinker. And I'm calling bullshit. Because you think about it,
this whole thing.
If you're so concerned that the guy might go to jail, then why are you saying this fight's going to happen next year? I think it's, you know, 3-5 what he's looking at. So the fight would never happen if he didn't have his trainer. By that logic, you know, it makes no sense. To me, it's just...
Thing makes no sense.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. I stayed up till 1 o'clock. That man, it's past my bedtime.
No. I think it's past all our bedtime. I feel bad for the people that, you know, it's 4 in the morning wherever they're at, and they have...
I feel sorry for them suckers. It's still nighttime for us.
Oh, man. But I'm going to tell you this, man. I told you so. We all knew that this was going to be. So really, honestly, it's our fault for you know, being dying fans that wanted to hopefully be proven wrong. You know what I mean? I think that's what it was. We wanted to be able to be, you know, finally go, you know what? See, I told you that wasn't going to go that path, but it did. You know? No, man. You know, I don't even want to drag this any much longer, like that press conference. I don't think there's a whole lot to talk about, except end the show as in saying goodnight to everybody. And
war tomorrow night.
And war tomorrow night, man.
Oh,
we're
going
to have some great fights. At least we got something to look forward for
real
the
fighters
disappointment that we
really
want to
fight.
Yeah.
You know what's actually great about this? Is we don't have to talk about this freaking fight anymore. I'm not going to answer any, you know, maybe the Monday mailbag, and that is it.
No. I'll make a vow to all the listeners, maybe the two fans that I have right now. I'm not talking about this fight until it actually happens.
That's it.
That's it.
We're done. Leave It in the Ring is officially done with that fight. Don't bring it up. Don't even email us about it anymore.
Please.
We won't respond to it. Hey, tomorrow night, Timothy Bradley, Carlos Abagu at 147. El Perro going to get in with Ernie's Everlast Gloves. He's going to test them out on Asaline. That's going to be a fight worth talking about. Let's tune into that. I tell you what, brothers, I want to say good night and
well.
Sweet dreams to the boxing world.
Peace.